But the subject today is seeking the Lord. And I thought about this a lot. I had a number of passages and a number of lesson topics that I was considering for today. I'd run a number of them by Patty on Thursday, and I think she liked all of them pretty well, and I did too, so I had trouble kind of breaking them down. And one of the things I was talking to her about, and Kyle would probably recognize this, we talked about Kyle Thursday, about Toastmasters. And when you're in Toastmasters, some people think it's just a group of a bunch of people taking champagne glasses and toasting each other, and that's not what it's about. It's about a group to help you become a very good speaker, a public speaker in front of other people, and to help you focus in on the message and the topic that you're discussing. And so one of the things that we learned in Toastmasters, I also was a Toastmaster, and sometimes when we were writing our speeches, we would take a subject and we would brain cloud that or make a cloud of different words that were synonyms or supporting ideas for whatever the topic was that we had to talk about. And that would help us to develop our lessons. And so as I took those topics that I shared with Patty on Thursday, I kept coming back to this over and over again. The idea of seeking God is really the most fundamental thing that we have as a Christian. And so we'll be going through that today. I will have the slides put up on our site once we have that there. So if you are scrambling for writing scriptures down, there's not a lot of them today. I know last time I kind of overwhelmed everyone. But in seeking the Lord, I want to start off in asking each person that's here today, young person, old person, middle-aged person, female, male, it doesn't matter. But if I ask you, what are the things that you are looking for? Right now, if you go through your mind, what are you looking for? Maybe it's hopefully something here, something in Scripture, something in your spiritual life, but if you walk out this door today, are there going to be things from home or on your finance list or your grocery list that you're going to be thinking about? What are the things that I am looking for? I have to ask myself that same question. We're going to get back to this passage later today, but in Isaiah 55, verse 6, it says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him when he is near." You know, the best time to find something is if you're very close to it. And we'll get down to this in a second. The image that I had for the PowerPoint, I really liked. It was a field of green hay. It was just before harvest, wheat. So you can see all the kernels of wheat. It's very high, but it's all green. It hasn't turned yellow. And if you've lived around here, you can pay attention. The corn and beans just seems like it's only been weeks that they have all changed from that beautiful green that they were, and now they're all just dried up and ready to harvest. But the image shows this big field of wheat and green, and you can just barely see a little girl's face looking out through the wheat. And up in the background, you can see a boy looking for the little girl. He can't find her, but he's trying to find her. And that's what I was trying to do especially for some of the young kids that are here. Hide-and-seek is probably one of my favorite games that I've ever played as a young kid, and I think a lot of you would like that too. I see some of the kids playing it even here in the building. But the fun thing about that is having a very short amount of time to try to be hidden from someone and for that person to be looking for you and to find you. And so I want you to stick that metaphor or that image in your mind as we go through the rest of this. So what are some things that maybe we're looking for? What about a lost purse or wallet? I know that makes us all get a little uncomfortable spot in our stomachs, doesn't it? When we think, where did I leave that? I don't know how many times we've been in places, and whether my family or myself or with friends, I've seen purses laying out in the road or a wallet laying up by the gas pump. People just forget about things and they drive off and then they lose them. What do you do when you find out that all your credit cards and your cash and your car keys and whatever else you got in there, you don't have it? Do you just think about, man, that's something I probably should look in tomorrow or the next day? Is that how we react to that? Or we're like, oh, what did I do? And you just kind of freak out and you start looking for those things. At that moment, that is one of the most important things to you because of the price you may pay for it. What about a lost job? Do we sometimes get a little bit anxious when we find out that we've lost our job or maybe our company is being downsized and our position is no longer needed? What about a mate? We're looking for a mate, or maybe we've never found a mate. How important is that? Is that just something we think, I'll get around to it? Or is it something that's important for us? What about a lost house or a replacement car? Your car dies, and how often do you just sit around in the same thing like I mentioned earlier? Do you just sit around saying, I'll get to it next week? It's like, well, not many of us can do that. Maybe in today's world with COVID, we can have a little bit more options, but not so much. So what is our effort and focus on these things when they are missing? And typically, especially for the lost wallet or purse, we really focus on it. All of our efforts are spent on trying to find that. We're calling people, we're retracing our steps, we're writing down things. I just wanted you to think about that idea of the activities and what you go through when something that important is missing as we get into some what we're talking about today. So do we recognize that all things are from God? Do we recognize that He has provided us a list of things to do and not to do? We think about the things to do sometimes, but He has given us the exact same list for the things not to do. And are we following those instructions? Do we just think that all that is here, including us, is pure chance and randomness? Or do we think that this is how things come to be? What does logic tell you? I get into this a lot, and I've told you a number of times that I've worked on a basically just a little story talking about nothing coming from, or everything coming from nothing. And this always takes me back in these kind of lessons. The question of God is always paramount. And the word paramount, we may think of the movie production company that's called Paramount. You see the big mountain at the beginning of a movie. Paramount means something that is more important than anything else. And so when we say the question of God or the idea of seeking the Lord is paramount, it is more important than anything else. So what are some choices that we have when we're seeking the Lord and we're thinking about God and His existence? The choices are either intelligent or they're foolish. Is there God or nothing? If nothing, then how? If God, then what does He want from us, and what are we doing for Him? And throughout the slides that I had in my presentation, each time I go to a new scripture, I ask the same question. Why seek God? What is the purpose of that? So the title on every page says Seeking the Lord, but it says Why Seek God? What's the purpose for that? In Deuteronomy, I tried to go, as I've been doing with a series of lessons, going back to passages that we don't typically go back to. Some of these have parts that we have in them, but I tried to get some new fresh passages for us today. Deuteronomy chapter 4, starting with verse 25. And it says, "When you beget children and grandchildren and have grown old in the land and act corruptly and make carved images in the form of anything and do evil in the sight of the Lord, your God, to provoke Him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that you will soon utterly perish from the land which you cross over the Jordan to possess. You will not prolong your days in it, but will be utterly destroyed, and the Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you will be left few in number among the nations where the Lord will drive you." You'll have to just go from memory here because you can't see these slides, but I underlined a lot of words on each of these passages. The words of action. When you beget, begetting children or having children, acting corruptly, making carved images, provoking God to anger, and then God witness, nature and heaven and earth witnessing against us, that we will utterly perish. Almost all the passages except for the last couple are from the Old Testament, and they're specifically talking to the Jews or to Israel, but the application of God's people is certainly to us today. We continue that passage in Deuteronomy 4, starting with verse 28. "And there you will serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood of stone, that neither see nor hear, nor eat nor smell. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find Him, if you seek Him with all your heart and with all your soul. When you are in distress, and all these things come upon you in the latter days, when you turn to the Lord your God and obey His voice, for the Lord God is a merciful God. He will not forsake you, nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers which He swore to them." Again, what are some of the action words that I have there? Serving other gods of men's hands, seeing, hearing, eating and smelling. Those are the things that those gods can't do because they are made. They don't have anything into them. But if you seek God with all that you have, He will not allow you to go without Him. So again, transition again. Why seek God? First Chronicles chapter 22, starting with verse 17. David also commanded the leaders of Israel to help Solomon his son, saying, Is not the Lord God with you? And has he not given you rest on every side? For he has given the inhabitants of the land into my hand, David talking, and in the land is subdued before the Lord and before his people. Now, set your hearts and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Therefore, arise and build the sanctuary of the Lord God to bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and the holy articles of God into the house to be built for the name of the Lord. Again, action items there. Has he not given you rest? God giving the people rest. And setting your hearts and your souls to seek the Lord your God. There's always expectations on God's part. Do this, follow me, pay attention, and don't go other ways. So again, the transition on the next slide. Why seek God? 2 Chronicles chapter 11, starting with verse 13. And from all their territories, the priests and the Levites who were in all Israel took a stand with him, for the Levites left their common lands and their possessions and came to Judah and Jerusalem. Why did they do all this? Why are they leaving all these places that they had set up? For Jeroboam and his sons had rejected them from serving as priests of the Lord. Then he appointed for himself, talking about Jeroboam, priests for himself for the high places, for the demons. Is that a thing that you remember from scriptures? And the calf idols which he had made after the Levites left. Those from the tribes of Israel, such as set their heart to seek the Lord God of Israel, came to Jerusalem to sacrifice to the Lord God of their fathers. So they strengthened the kingdom of Judah and made Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, strong for 3 years, because they walked the way of David and Solomon for 3 years. So seeking the Lord sometimes requires us to give things up. We see that when Israel was split away from Judah, the kingdom was divided because it was expected and God warned about this happening. That some of these religious people that were trying to be pleasing to God and doing their jobs properly saw that what the king was doing was out of scope. And so they went back to be where they should have been in the first place. So someone asked them, why seek God? Well, they had the recognition to know what to do. Still in 2 Chronicles, now to chapter 14, starting with verse 1. So Abijah rested with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. Then Asa, his son, reigned in his place. In his days the land was quiet for 10 years. Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. What did he do? Well, it says he removed the altars of the foreign gods and the high places and broke down the sacred pillars and cut down the wooden images. How did all these things come to exist? Well, his predecessor was putting those things up, and he was trying to undo them. So in seeking the Lord, he was taking his time to tear things down that were not acceptable to God. Continuing on, he commanded Judah to seek the Lord God, their fathers, to observe the law and the commandments. He also removed the high places and the places of altar, the incense and altars from the cities of Judah, and the kingdom was quiet under him. Again, why seek God? 2 Chronicles chapter 15 this time, starting with verse 10. So they gathered together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of Asa. And they offered the Lord that time 700 bulls, 7,000 sheep from the spoil that they had brought. They entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. And whoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel was to be put to death. So not only are these people very focused on pleasing God, they're making it extremely dangerous for people to not be part of that. Whether small or great, whether man or woman, they took an oath before the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting and trumpets of ram's horns. And Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with all their soul. And he was found by them, and the Lord gave them rest all around. Over and over again, you see throughout Scripture, God giving a people rest because they are doing what he asked, and when they are not, they have a lot of tumult. So seeking the Lord, why seek God? Isaiah 51, a passage we often hear read before the Lord's Supper. Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness. You who seek the Lord, look to the rock from which you were hewn and the hole of the pit from which you were dug. I've used that passage just by itself in some other lessons. But it continues on and it says, look to Abraham, your father, and Sarah, who bore you. For I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in it. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Again, so why are we looking back to these individuals rather than to God or other leaders there? Is just to show that God had a promise that he did not fail to keep. Question again, why seek God? Isaiah 55, 1 through 3. I thought I had actually wrote the same thing on here twice. 51, 1 through 3, and this is 55, 1 through 3. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have money, come and buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight in itself in abundance. Incline your ear, and come to me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Continuing on, Isaiah 55, 4 through 7. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader, a commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and a nation who does not know you shall run to you. Because the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. This is where we started off the lesson today. Call upon him when he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Again, why seek God? Hosea 5:6 says, with the flocks and herds they shall go and seek the Lord. They will not find him. He has withdrawn himself from them. You can look at the rest of that passage and see again, the children of God, children of Israel, have been told what to do, and they have not fulfilled that promise. Hosea 10:12. Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he comes and rains righteousness upon you. Mom and Dad, I went to lunch or dinner with them last night, and as we were driving down, we were looking out the windows, we were driving down to Hillsboro, and we were seeing all the work that was going on with the farmers' fields, and we started talking about this, and Mom had said something. I said, well, I was just reading in a passage for my lesson about the fallow ground, and I had to look and see what that meant because I haven't used it in a long time. But the idea from the definition is to take ground that has been used for harvest and basically till it back up so that it can let air and let water come into it to help it regenerate for the next time that the field's been used. And it says, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. God is just telling us to prepare for things that are more important. And it says, till he comes and rains righteousness upon you. So again, I ask the question, why seek God? Amos 5:6 says, seek the Lord and live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph and devour it, with no one to quench it in Bethel. Zephaniah 2, verse 3. Seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth, who have upheld his justice, seek righteousness. Seek humility, it may be that you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. You know, I started off talking about the little girl hiding in the hay or in the wheat as the boy was looking for her. We know that God's anger is going to be met upon this world the same way it was in the days of Noah. But he promised Noah that the world would never be destroyed by water again. That was the promise of the rainbow. But fire is not something that he has promised against, and it's something that we can read throughout the text of the Bible. So again, why seek the Lord? Why seek God? Jumping into the New Testament, alas, and it says in Acts chapter 17, starting with verse 22, "Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus, saying, 'Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found the altar to this inscription, to the unknown God. Therefore, the one who you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you, God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives life to all. He gives life, breath, and all things, and he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth. And he has determined to predetermine times and the boundaries of their dwelling.'" Acts chapter verse 27. "So that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they may grope for him and find him." That word grope we often talk about is sometimes if you're trying to find something, you think of a child, sometimes they're maybe in their crib or they're under a blanket and they're trying to get their way back to being able to see somebody, or maybe they're being fed and they're just trying to get to where they can get that food. I think about that word most of all when we're in a very dark place and we can't find where we're going. And as an adult, you're putting your hand out there. Is that the door? Is that something I'm going to trip on? Is that my car? We kind of move around and we grope for these things. We're reaching for them and grabbing things that we're not sure what they are. And it says here that we grope for God until we find him. "Though he is not far from each of us, for in him we live and move and we have our being. As also some of your own poets have said." That's Paul saying that some of your own poets have even talked about this person God that I'm talking to you about. "For we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone or something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands men everywhere to repent." So over and over again, we see this idea of people making these deities for themselves that are simply made from things that we can find in dirt. Just the thing I talked about, logic, when we first began. Just think about that. Continuing on, I want to go to Paul's letter to Timothy. 1 Timothy 4, starting with verse 12, says to Timothy, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in purity." And as we know with all Scripture, these things that are written for us as well. "Till I come, give attention to reading, exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by the prophecy and the laying on of hands of the eldership." That last little bit there was something that Timothy had that we do not have, but all these other things we do have. We do have our words. We do have conduct. We do have love or the lack of it. We do have spirit. We have faith and we have purity. And we have the ability to read, exhort, to talk, bring up doctrine. And we have the responsibility not to neglect what we give to God. He continues on. He says, "Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all." Again, this idea of building and continuing. "Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you." So as we wrap up, I ask again, where is God? I found a beautiful image on Unsplashed, is where I get a lot of my images from. And the image was one of those that you can see a timed exposure. There was water in between a valley. It looked like a very wide angle shot of maybe a river. And in the middle of the river was a small land where the tree was. But the photo was enormous. It was very, very, very tall vertically. And all of you that love astronomy and the stars and the universe, you know with timed exposures, you can still see the Milky Way. And you can see this arm of the Milky Way going up in the background. Just stars everywhere. And so on my next slide, what I did is I took a close-up shot of that. And I showed there's about 5 very bright stars on there. And I said, where is God? And I went from each star and I said, is this where God's at? Is this where God's at? I was pointing to all those things. And I said, no, that's not where God's at. And I went to the full image, and I showed that, and I said, I put a big circle on the screen, and I said, is this where God's at? Or is it this very narrow area where the tree is? The passage that I put up, and if I can see it with the drop shadow on here, Psalms 139, starting with verse 7, says, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell or Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. The point that I was trying to make in those slides and those images of just vastness of everything that's around us and saying, is this where God's at? None of that matters. God is everywhere. He is all over everything in creation, including us. And one of the things that I thought about in this lesson is the very fact that God gives us liberty to go against Him or to obey Him. And that by itself, with a Creator that has done so much, is something that we should always be very, very humble and thankful to God for. So I finish up with asking these questions. Today, what are we seeking? What is our focus in life right now? Where are our minds? On the physical or on the spiritual? And then why? Why is our mind in that place? What's causing us to be gravitating towards those things? Which has a predetermined ending that has been shared with us? And finally, I ask the question, what should we do right now? Every moment, we are making decisions. I think I go back to a lesson Kyle presented maybe a year or two, three ago. I believe it was him. He was talking about the number of decisions that people make on a daily basis, and it was significant. The number was extraordinary. And he made a point to talk about how often we make decisions that we don't even think about. What am I going to say? Which way am I going to turn? How am I going to stand? Where am I going to shift? All these things are processes that we go through. Is one of our processes looking back to God, seeking the Lord, and asking, where is God in my life? How important is God to me? So this morning, without a presentation, I hope you've been able to follow some of those passages. I pray that some of them were refreshing to you as they have been for me. There's a number of them that I had not gone back to in some time. There's a number of them that I had not gone deeper into those passages. But like I said, once we get them up on the site, they will be down for you if you didn't get a chance to write them. But seeking the Lord is why we're here. We're trying to please Him and trying to be found by Him. And in one of the verses that I read there, it says He's not very far away. You just got to start making sure that you're looking for Him. And the same thing is true, just like I talked to the kids about hide and seek. You know, sometimes there might be a kid right here, and I can't see that kid because I'm standing here and I'm not looking around. But what if I walk up there and go, ah, I got you? Jacob comes to my mind frequently because that's usually where he's at. Jacob, I saw you right there. I got you. He's like, oh, Roger saw me. Is God just that far away? Is He saying, Roger, I'm right here? This lesson started off with the idea of God holding out His hand to us, and all He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you, but it was always us letting go of God's hand. And so this idea of seeking the Lord was us trying to get back to where He's at, to have that security. And this morning, if you have a need for God's security, I just implore you to think about your situation. If there's any needs that you have, please come while we stand and sing.